Welcome to The Allie Effect with Allison Blythe, authentically living life your way. We all contemplate making changes in our lives that would allow us to live more authentically, but it can be hard to take action. Allison is here to educate, equip, and empower you with the tools you need to start authentically living life your way. Get ready to eradicate your limitations and destructive patterns as you take full responsibility for your own happiness. This show is not just talk. It is conversation for profound self-awareness, acceptance, and appreciation, the key elements to stepping into the power as the creator of your very best life. The Allie Effect with Allison Blythe starts now.
Hey everyone, and welcome. You're listening to The Allie Effect with me, Allison Blythe, certified life coach and licensed clinical social worker, authentically living life your way. You can join me the first and third Thursday of every single month right here on Transformation Talk Radio as we dive deep into this concept of authenticity. It seems so easy. We're told all the time, perhaps you've been told or you've told someone else, just be yourself. It seems so simple that that is how we would show up in the world. And yet we all know that it's a lot harder than most people would think. So today we're going to cover tools, tips, and techniques to help you in a way to show up authentically in your life. Stay with me for the next hour as we talk about this idea and cover yet another topic as we do educate, equip, and empower you in authentically living life your way. This is where you come to transform through real talk and practical tools. I want to share with you an incident that happened to me the other day. Something that I have thought about a lot since the past couple of weeks and just been kind of feeling the ramifications of it. It really, in and of itself, was not that big of a deal, but man, when it happened, it was kind of like, whoa, what is going on? And so it left me pretty rattled, and I had a hard time kind of coming down from it because it was just so out of the blue. Maybe you've had a similar experience, something that you have been affected by in some way, maybe very small, maybe very big. I hope not, but unfortunately, you probably have. I was driving to meet a friend and just merging into very busy Friday traffic. I was merging onto the highway, and as I made my way into the slow lane, I did so quickly enough, you know, and if you know me, I will certainly admit that I was kind of maneuvering my way into the middle lane to kind of get there. And I turned on my turn signal and looked over my shoulder because, again, it's busy Friday traffic. And as I began to merge into that middle lane, I saw out of the corner of my eye that, you know, someone else was coming over, and I just kind of set my pace and got into the lane, and she fell in behind me, and I didn't really think that much of about it. Nothing happened. And so I just kind of moved along, but then very quickly, I saw that same driver move alongside of me, and she came up next to me on the passenger lane, and she had rolled down her window, and let's just say she was using a very specific finger to let me know that I had somehow done something wrong, her very contorted, angry face, and I was like, whoa, what is happening? I had no idea what she interpreted that or what was happening inside of her. I guess I got into the lane that she wanted to be in, and she felt that she had kind of the need and the right to aggressively tell me how much I had messed up that process. But I certainly wasn't aware of anything that had really been that offensive. And I have to admit, I've certainly grown a lot over the past several years and realized that the highway and 70 miles an hour is not the appropriate time, place, nor pace to really address any type of conflict. And so I waved and smiled. I'll be honest, I waved and smirked. You know, I didn't do the finger or anything like that, but I certainly smirked and slowed my pace to just let her pass by. I was like, whatever is happening with you. And I thought it was over. Okay. Well, that obviously was not the solution that she was looking for, because she too slowed her pace to match mine. And then the game was on in her mind, I guess. And I, again, I was like, oh, whoa, this is a little bit more serious than I had anticipated. Like, I had no idea what I did or why she was so dangerously irate with whatever had happened. And I got to admit, I was mad. I was like, what the heck is this all about? Why the response and the risk, that level of danger over something that really hadn't actually happened, right? She was definitely on a mission, and she continued to swerve and scream and point many different fingers at me, you know, like she was mad. From that smirk on, I did not engage to, and people might not believe me based on some of my driving history, but I really didn't. I could tell that this was really becoming a very dangerous situation, and not only to me and to her, but to really everyone that was around us. She was incredibly unsafe and really erratic in her meltdown. And I knew it wasn't about me. Like, I knew I didn't necessarily cause that, but it certainly was affecting me. This went on for several minutes. It felt like it went on for a lifetime. If I sped up, so did she. If I slowed down, so did she. She was definitely on a mission, and I had absolutely no idea why. And as luck would have it, the road finally brought her to her exit, which was actually on the left side of the highway, and she was forced to go in a different direction. You know, after an incident like that, you're kind of like, and again, nothing actually happened, but holy cow, you know, I was like, whoa, what just occurred here? I was certainly stunned. I was confused. And I was still really pretty angry about that. I certainly call myself a very strategic driver. But in this moment, I was simply doing what I needed to do by getting over. I did not believe myself to be aggressive, certainly intended no harm, or didn't do anything that I believed to be dangerous or risky in any way. And I still had quite a drive to decompress and kind of be just done with that experience. But man, it was like, whoa, it took me a while. And I've thought about it several times since then. And so I am wondering, like, have you ever had an experience like that? Like something where that just happens where you feel almost like assaulted, hopefully not physically, but certainly energetically, something so intense that kind of leaves you just stunned and confused. Like, what was that all about? And I wonder, and here's another perspective for you. And I had to really hold my own feet to the fire on this one. Have you ever been that person? Have you ever been the person to just pop off, react so intensely and fly off the handle over something? Are you someone who really assigns motives to people or kind of personalizes whatever they're doing and kind of go to battle with people? Has this become like a way that you're interacting and engaging in the world? You know, I wonder sometimes, how is it possible that we live in a world that these types of occurrences are almost becoming more of the norm, and something so minor, right? Getting into a lane before someone else does, and definitely accidental, not intentional at all, but that suddenly it becomes a threat to people, their sense of safety and the well-being of people around. I think about the time, we've talked about commodities. I think about the time and the energy she put into such an explosive experience like that. And really just, well, I still just feel really baffled. I was exhausted and depleted after that, and nothing had actually happened, but it was certainly an energetic exchange nonetheless. It was something that really has continued to stay with me. And I felt badly as I still think about it. I'm just like, man, it was such a shame that happened. So how have we in our world come to a place that a simple, just as an example, a simple traffic misstep or someone getting into a lane or a line before you do, it can leave people so distraught and so disconnected from each other? How is it that we can treat each other with such cruelty based on how we perceive an interaction to be? So today I want to talk to you about something that I'm hoping we can really challenge each other with and maybe practice so much more in our day-to-day life. Today, I want to introduce you to the topic that we've probably heard before. And I definitely believe that this entity would have changed the entire exchange that I had with her, or maybe not have allowed it to happen at all. What I want to talk to you about today is actually the topic of empathy. Maybe you know it, maybe you understand it to be something like more consideration, politeness, or maybe even compassion. But whatever term you use, today I want to offer a challenge. I want to offer a personal challenge and really declare we need more of this in our world. Just the tool and the feeling of empathy. It's certainly something that you've heard, and yet I think it's becoming more and more obsolete in our society. Most people have a basic understanding of what empathy is. It's certainly a level of compassion or concern for someone who's experiencing something in life, right? Like we watch somebody get their hand slammed in the door, or we hear about a tragedy, and you're like, oh, you just have such compassion and consideration. And so I did what I absolutely love to do, and I looked it up. I looked it up on Google and dictionary.com. And the definition for compassion is, or for empathy, is the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. Right. Again, just seems so basic. The definition for compassion, also from dictionary.com, is concern for the suffering or misfortune of others. We do live in a world where empathy seems to be more and more rare. It's such a rare quality in the way that we are not engaging in other people. There is significant division and strife in the world. And unless something is really catastrophic or it's relevant to your experience, the connected you can be to an experience, the more empathy you do tend to have. But it is something that I want to really call to order today. And I wonder, what's true for you? How do you see yourself? Would you be kind of more like in her shoes? Kind of just the aggressor with things and popping off and reacting? Would you be like me and offering kind of this whimsical, sarcastic response, or then kind of like me, like the shock, horror? Do you identify yourself as someone who really does hold a lot of empathy and understanding? Is that becoming more challenging for you? I wonder, has that changed over the course of life? Sometimes as we get older and we have more of these experiences, we become kind of soured or bitter about things. So we need to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to continue to talk about this idea of empathy. You are listening to The Ally Effect. I am Allison Blythe, certified life coach and licensed clinical social worker. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you living life, or is life living you? The destination may not be clear when we seek change, but we trust we cannot stay where we are. Healing and transformation coach Trish Campbell strengthens the mind-body-spirit connection. Diane McClade generates positive change by shifting perspective through choice. Get connected and gain clarity on the Shift podcast every first and third Friday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on transformationtalkradio.com. Visit invibe.ca for more info. You've been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day, and we love to hear from you. Leave comments and questions for the host to address live, on the air, and get to know the faces behind the voices you love. Just go to Facebook and search for Transformation Talk Radio.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharged phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today. Or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on transformationtalkradio.com.
Join the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
We're back here on The Ally Effect with me, Allison Blythe, certified life coach and licensed clinical social worker, authentically living life your way, talking today about this concept of authenticity and empathy. Before we continue, I want to make sure you know how to be in touch with me. I have a good old-fashioned landline at 859-341-7773. I'd love to hear from you. And if you want to email me in today's day and age, it's allisonblythe@live.com. And if you want to check out my website, see what's available there, that is allisonblythe.com. Any social media format, Allison Blythe Life Coach, if you just need a dose of positivity and encouragement throughout your day. It's a great resource for you that's available at any point. Today's topic, empathy. And I shared with you an incident that I had in terms of like this road rage and the intensity of like, what in the world is happening in our world? It's really caused me to think quite a bit. And I did share the definition of empathy, the ability to understand and share another person's feelings. Just, it seems so basic, and yet it's not really occurring much in our world anymore. And I want to share with you a story about a client named Fran. And Fran and I have seen each other off and on for many, many years. And I'm usually just a touch point for her, someone where she comes in and tries to process through some things that are going on. And I know Fran very, very well. And she came in one day and I could tell she was in the midst of it, right? She was irritable. She was fussing, griping about a lot of stuff and just seemed to be pretty mad and worked up. And during the course of our session, she had said, "I have lost my compassion for people. I seem to care more about animals and being in nature. And I can hardly stand people." And, again, sadly, I think a lot of people can relate to that statement. And so during the course of it, as I was helping her process through, one of the things she started to happen is that she actually started to cry. Once the fuss and the irritation started to settle down, she could get in touch with just some of the pain. She's a teacher, ironically enough. And having very little tolerance because she was witnessing students and parents and administration and just kind of, again, this war that people seem to be having with each other. And so she too was starting to, what I refer to as like porcupine, going through life with that, those hard, sharp quills. It's a protective measure that a lot of people have. It's that irritability and that impatience with people, that reactivity that ultimately, and I know this to be true about Fran, and maybe this is something that you can relate to, that soft underbelly, that place where we just stay very protected from because it hurts to be out in the world with that part of us leading out. And so I know her well enough that when she's in her protective measure with those irritable, reactive quills, it actually is such a protective measure. And underneath, what I could see was her deep grief about the state of the world. And I do believe that we live in a world where it's not becoming a natural practice. And I'm starting to wonder, what if we started to hold each other accountable and we began to decide, like we made a decision to practice more empathy in the world? How we relate to one another, the lens through which we see. I believe this traffic woman believed I was trying to do something, right? Like the lens through which she saw that interaction. I wonder how much empathy would change the course of conversations or interactions as we begin to kind of check ourselves with this. And like, wait a minute, I need to bring empathy with me when I go into these experiences. I wonder, like, if there were an empathy scale somewhere on the world, like if you could measure yourself, where do you think you would be? Do you think you would be higher on the scale? Or do you think it's really just very painful for you to show up in that way? I know for Fran, she probably would have said in the beginning, zero, like she had no empathy. And as during the course of that, she certainly didn't go up too high, not an 8, 9, or 10, but maybe more like a 4 or 5. And that's okay. I'll take it. I'll take any kind of progress that is. Are you someone in the world who struggles, that you have a lot of impatience, judgment and reactivity? Are you really critical of things that are happening? And I wonder, why is that? Where is that coming from for you? And what's underneath it? Are you quilled and kind of curled in to protect certain parts of you? We all have patterns of thought. There are all things that are happening inside of us, like these reactions that we have or the ways that we see people or exchanges that we have. I talked about in that episode, the top 10 things of what not to do. I talked about our patterns of language with each other. And I'm realizing as I'm talking about this, like it's also important in terms of patterns of thought. Do you assign motives to people? Do you jump to conclusions about stuff, take things personally and write stories in your head about what's happening or what's going to happen? And can you see in situations like that, how that actually fuels your perception about something and the emotion without ever stopping to really check? Like, what do I know for sure? Or is this happening? I wonder if your lens, the patterns of thought that you have, are they helpful to you? Are they helpful to situations or your engagement with other people? And are they a reflection of who you really want to be in this world? 2020 was, you know, there's all kinds of talk and understanding and probably research at this point about the impact of 2020 and the years since then. And we were forced to face things in the world that I don't think any of us ever really saw coming nor imagined to be the case. And I believe that there's been a shift in our world. And certainly it was brewing before, years in the making with some of this. But I believe that that entire season, and now even continuing, it's magnified a lot of our dysfunction, our divide, the pain that we have collectively in the world, and the coping mechanisms that we often use in our world and what's become normal, so to speak. And then re-entry, as hard as isolation and all those changes were, re-entry has been just as difficult, if not more difficult for people. And this whole sense of like getting back to normal, like what does that even mean? And people who are trying to create new routines and new patterns and ways of connecting. As nice as a reset really sounds, it has been a struggle for a lot of people. There was a disruption in everything we knew to be true, in the ways that we did things and functioned. And I think at the core of what's really happening, like again, if we could go into that collective soft underbelly, I think what's happening is that people are just scared. People are so shook up about what's going on, and it's changed the ways we relate and treat one another. People are scared and feeling susceptible, even now, years later. And it's not coming out smoothly, kindly, or respectfully. I think it's coming out sideways for people, right? It's coming out really messy, very often very cruel and reactive. Because I don't believe people are really naming these core needs that have been compromised, the need for predictability, stability, safety, reliance, like those have been rattled in our world. And people are confused and reacting to one another. At the end of 2020, I actually taught a workshop that was WTF 2020, and really, you know, what we might decide to be true about the WTF, but really why the fuss, where's the focus, and what's the future were the topics of that. And we addressed in that workshop, when you squeeze a lemon, what is it that comes out of it? It's certainly not apple juice. It's not grape juice. You don't get walnuts when you squeeze a lemon. What comes out of it is lemon juice, because that's actually what's inside the lemon. The squeeze, the circumstance, just simply provides an outlet for what's inside to come out. So I'm wondering, as you've been squeezed through the course of life, what is it that's coming out of you? There is no doubt, I don't know a single soul who gets through much of life without being affected. You know, life does not leave us unscathed in any way. Life will definitely squeeze, and there's no doubt about it, that it impacts us greatly. And I think that some of the struggle with this is that a lot of times people will believe that bad stuff shouldn't happen to good people. And when it does, it can be very shocking. And people want to believe that this is a cause and effect world, that good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people. And we all know that that is not the case. Tragic stuff happens all throughout life. People die, people leave, people, really good people even do really horrible things. They lie, they cheat, they deceive, they do they steal, they do all kinds of things. And like I said, even really good people do these really crappy types of things. And life sometimes hands you a deck that's so hard that you're just like, you don't even know really what to do. I think back to that simple traffic exchange, you know, that really has left me rattled. And then the greater scope of life with things that leave people just so deeply affected and sometimes even scarred. What are the life experiences that when you've been squeezed, what are the things that have created the squeeze for you? And when that happens, what is it that comes out of you? Are you someone who kind of falls prey to like fear and panic? Like, do you just kind of lose your mind for a little bit? Do you rage, kind of like what Fran was doing with kind of like this irritability and rage component? Do you blame, look for someone to hold responsible for things? Or do you catastrophize? I call this my homeless under a bridge thinking that, you know, something happens, you know, they're loading up your cardboard box, just knowing that you're going to be homeless under a bridge. Do you awfulize or catastrophize things when something happens? Do you become very rigid and controlling when stuff happens? Or are you on the opposite side? Like, when do you have a deep seated faith and trust that life works out the way that it should? And sure, bad stuff happens. If that's how you're wired, I want to talk because I need some of that. I know that that is not my first instinct. I do tend to go to that reactive level when things happen in life. Our thoughts are very trained. It's estimated that we have about 60 to 70,000 thoughts a day, 90% of which are the exact same thoughts we had the day before. Our reactions, our thoughts are habitual, and rarely do we stop to think about how well they're serving you. So what is it that comes out of you? Are you someone who engages in those patterns of thought where you are awfulizing or you are jumping to conclusions and you're assigning motives to people? And can you stop to see for just a minute how much that fuels the intensity of everything that's happening in our world? We are all under tremendous pressure, some of it very self-induced, right? Like, we take on more than we should, or we have these patterns of perfection or whatever it might be. And other times it's just real life pressures and circumstances. People are increasingly combustible and it's intense, and pressure just seems to continue to mount. There is so much that's happening in the world that we often don't stop to check in with how we're doing or what it is that's going on inside of us. This is your opportunity to step back a little bit to say, what's happening inside of me? What am I feeling? What are the squeeze elements where life has kind of gotten a hold of me that I need to stop and reassess what's happening? So we're going to take another break. And as you have some time to think about the squeeze that's been occurring, I am Allison Blythe, certified life coach and licensed clinical social worker. You're listening to The Ally Effect, authentically living life your way. We'll be right back.
What if you could enter a sacred vortex of love and beauty, infused with the power of the earth and ascended masters?
Join myself, Dr. Georgia Herrera and Dr. Sharon Martin, in the Sacred Magic Show.
Bring in the mystical and sacred for healing, airing every third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You too can have your health and life challenges melt away.
Join now and feel your heart open up to the answers to your most important questions.
Have you known that you're on a soul path, but often wondered why you don't have the insight of how to go from here to there, or whether or not what you're doing is going to take you to where you want to go in your soul's journey? Damayante is the show for your soul. Damayante speaks to your soul, connects with your soul, and shines a light for your soul. Damayante, the show for your soul with Sarah Main, brings you insights and a pathway to your soul's journey on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Juggling life's relentless demands can leave us unbalanced and restless. Do you feel stuck in the overwhelm? Diane McClay is a personal empowerment coach, author, and compassionate storyteller on a mission to boost you into balance and help you move forward with passion and purpose. Get unstuck with Diane on The Diane McClay Show every second and fourth Friday at 1:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Diane, visit DianeMcClay.com.
We're back here on The Ally Effect, authentically living life your way with me, Allison Blythe, certified life coach and licensed clinical social worker, a show all about authenticity and really offering tools, tips, and resources, techniques for you to live life authentically. And we're talking about a concept today, empathy, that sometimes is hard. It's hard to show up. It can be hard to show up authentically. It can be hard to show up with a lot of empathy. I want to share a story with you about yet another. I just shared a story about a teacher and I want to share another story about a different teacher. And certainly shout out to people who have dedicated their lives to teaching our youth, because holy cow, some of my end shows their stress and strain. But I was working with a client, Sarah, and she had come in and she was very frazzled. She had just gotten an email from one of her administrators, and they were encouraging the people at the school to just write notes of thoughtfulness and consideration to others. And they wanted them to do that before they wrapped up the school year. And she was so mad. Let's be nice to each other. No. Her response, as that of many of her coworkers, was, we don't have time for that. We don't have time for that. We're trying to wrap up grades and talk to parents and say goodbye to our kids. And I got to clean my classroom. I don't have time for these acts of thoughtfulness and consideration. And I just thought, wow, isn't that the case? Isn't it typical for us to let that thing go, right? Something that really could be very simple and very easy. And yet it was seen as a task and a burden. And I understand it. Like, there's no judgment of that. It's just the sadness of our world that we are so incredibly busy and kind of just fast paced that one of the most frequent elements we let go of is basic kindness and consideration. Just some food for thought. So I believe that I may single-handedly keep Google and Siri very well occupied. And so as I was thinking about this topic and kind of processing through, I found some quotes that I thought could be really helpful. And the first one is, opinion is really the lowest form of knowledge. It requires no accountability, no understanding. The highest form of knowledge is empathy. It requires us to suspend our egos and live in another's world. It requires profound purpose, larger than the self kind of understanding, right? Bill Bullard is who that quote is from. And then of course, who better to hear about empathy from than Brené Brown, right? If you don't know her work, then I would encourage you to do a little Google search yourself and identify yourself with some of her material. It's absolutely phenomenal. But she talks about empathy as a strange and powerful thing. There is no script. There is no right or wrong way to do it. It's simply listening, holding space, withholding judgment, emotionally connecting and communicating that incredibly healing message of you are not alone. That's Brené Brown. Can you imagine that, like hearing that theme or feeling those feelings? You are not alone in this. I get you. Like, wow, what a difference that would make if that became our launching pad for our day, our interactions, and our thought process. Think about how different our world could be if we approached one another, every interaction that we had with people that way, with that level of understanding. Now, that's a little extreme in the language, right? I understand that. I'm far from that. It's a very tall order to consider in your interactions with other people. And I'm very far from that type of exchange, hence my smirk with that woman that was on the road. It doesn't take for much for me to feel the squeeze of impatience and intolerance. Something happens and certainly those trained thoughts and feelings come right back. Oftentimes a reaction is so heated, it doesn't offer us time to pause enough long enough for a response. And I don't know about you, but this is certainly the case for me and the people that I work with. But oftentimes thoughts need to be managed. And I am talking about like hands on the wheel, pulling the reins, managed. It doesn't take much for thoughts and feelings to go right off the rails. You know, I can kind of hear Ozzy Osbourne, like off the rails of the crazy train, right? Like how quickly do your thoughts just kind of fuel and go off the rails? It may not be that way for everyone, but oftentimes what I find is that thoughts do need to be tamed and corralled. Otherwise, they will certainly run loose and wreak havoc, certainly make a bad situation so much worse. And we talked about those patterns. Are you someone who's making assumptions about things? Are you personalizing other people? I think that woman probably felt like I did that to her. Whatever it was. And so do you personalize people's behaviors, the things that they do, the things that they don't do? Do you assign intent without ever really checking? And are you popping off from that emotionally reactive place? Can you recognize how these trained thoughts and patterns can fuel the intensity? Why is it that you do that? What's underneath? So most times people will say like, okay, where do I begin? And that all sounds great, but what's going on? How do I start this process? And if you've watched even one episode, you know that I am going to put you right back at the beginning tool of self-awareness. First and foremost, if we're going to start to corral the thoughts, if we're going to grab hold of our reactions, and be intentional about bringing this tool of empathy and interactions that we have with people, I'm going to challenge you to be very conscious of what you're thinking and what you're feeling. Think about what you're thinking about. What's getting triggered inside of you when you feel the sharpness, the quills of the irritability and the impatience, the judgment of other people? Are you in the headspace to really step into a conversation or a decision with someone? Or do you need to step back a little bit, get yourself a little shook out and not be quite so defensive and reactive to things? Can you check yourself before you engage, right? It's like you kind of check yourself. What's going on internally? Is this how I want to show up in the world? So self-awareness is your starting point. The second tool that I'll encourage you to use is self-responsibility. I could really blame this woman for that interaction. She was crazy and I can't believe. But the truth is I have to take some responsibility for what happened in that driving incident, not necessarily of the merge, but certainly in terms of my reaction. I reacted to her, and yes, hers was very extreme. And yet I played a part too. I smirked and it fueled her fire. And as much as I could blame her and dismiss my responsibility, I did something that probably fueled that into a level of intensity. Now, again, I'll say it was progress for me, because before I probably would have engaged. I would have engaged in all kinds of ways and somehow declared war back, you know, which again is just so incredibly absurd, but I could likely have done that. But when I think about the smirk, progress, certainly, but certainly in alignment with who and how I want to be in the world, not so much, right? Maybe empathy could have changed that whole exchange. Maybe hers of me of hers, certainly afterwards. I'm not sure. Sometimes empathy has just as much to do with what we don't do as much as what it has to do with what we do, if that makes sense. So like not engaging with her might've been my best act of empathy that I could have mustered in that. At 70 miles an hour, there's probably not much I could do to offer empathy, but I could not have done the smirk, which might've changed the whole thing. So even if you're not really sure how to engage in an empathic way towards someone, maybe it's just about what you don't engage in the world. And that's your best deposit of how you want to show up in the world. You're just going to commit to not making a bad situation worse. Food for thought. So I wonder, have you ever stopped to ask yourself, who is it that I want to be in the world? Are you accountable to yourself, to other people, for how you're showing up in the world and what you're putting out? What kind of energy or exchanges are you engaged in? And how, is that in alignment with who you want to be? I wonder, like, do you have a conscious awareness of whether or not you're in alignment with your core values? This is an interesting story too. Again, more humble pie for me to chew on as I'm sharing in this show. Years ago, I was creating a coaching course. And during the course of that, I developed a values assessment. And now, mind you, I said I developed a values assessment. What I didn't say is that I actually took the values assessment, because I didn't. I thought for sure I knew what my values were. Like, I got this. The other people need to figure out what their values are. And so I believed one of my top values was kindness. And so it was pretty shocking and disappointing to me after a series of exchanges with people and interactions that I started to realize, like, wait a minute, what's the truth of that statement? What is the truth that my core value is kindness? If that really were a valid statement, why is it that I am repeatedly feeling so unkind in thought and word and deed? I actually did humble myself enough to take my own assessment, and I was shocked at the results. What I thought to be true about myself wasn't true at all, because after completing that values assessment, what I determined is that kindness didn't even qualify in the top 10. What I thought was number one didn't even exist in the top 10. So what was it? Fairness is what registered as my top value. Whoa. Like, I don't even know as though I would have thought that. I mean, sure, I'm a Libra. Of course, fairness is pretty core. But in terms of a value, in a world that is ridiculously unfair most of the time, it made sense suddenly that I was walking around feeling triggered and frustrated and irritated, and therefore kind of evoking these feelings of being unkind. And so now, please don't mistake. It's not that I don't value kindness. I mean, of course I do. But believing that kindness was my top value, I was really misaligned with how I was interacting and the interpretation I had on a lot of different experiences. I wonder, when is the last time you really stopped to assess what your core values are? They change over the course of time. Different seasons in your life will evoke different levels of values that are important to you. So don't assume that just because you always knew, don't be like me, just because you assume that you always knew it, that it still is the case. If you're interested in that values assessment, I would be honored. I would share it with you. All you have to do is email me, allisonblythe@live.com, and I will happily send it to you, because I think what can happen is we become more aligned and orchestrated with what's really important in life. And so if you are finding yourself, again, reactive, irritable, something's going on, maybe there's a misalignment in your core values. This assessment will help you in really being able to get yourself back on track. So empathy, authenticity, and core values, lots of rich material for us to cover today. We need to take a break. You are listening to The Ally Effect, Authentically Living Life Your Way. I'm Allison Blythe, and we will be right back.
Do you feel like love is just taking you for a ride? If you struggle to find yourself in a fulfilling romantic relationship, join me, Love Coach Mariah, in my show, Becoming Secure in Love, From Push and Pull to Peace of Mind, every second and fourth Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Discover the joy of being loved as your true, authentic self. Visit LoveCoachMariah.com for more. That's LoveCoachMariya.com.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martinet.
Tune into the Dr. Diane Show, where we explore revolutionary expansion of mind, body, and soul every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I bring over 20 years of expertise as a mindset warrior, perspective shifter, and unshakable optimist dedicated to helping you reach your wildest dreams in business, health, performance, and relationships. Join the discussion on the show. Learn more about me, Dr. Diane, and receive a free digital copy of my magazine at naturalnutmeg.com.
back here on The Ally Effect, Authentically Living Life Your Way with me, Allison Blythe, certified life coach and licensed clinical social worker. Today, addressing a topic of empathy and how it can support you in really showing up in life more authentically and certainly your core values. And the difference empathy can make when we make a conscious, deliberate decision about how to practice it in the world. I shared with you that driving exchange and the heated intensity of that whole reaction. And sadly, I think this is happening more and more in our world. We have political and religious debates with each other, mask, no mask, vaccine, no vaccine, voting, you know, just all kinds of stuff. All you have to do is look at the airline industry and the news to see what's happening in our society, just a combustible level of interaction. And we've certainly lost our connection and compassion for people. And I believe, well, it's because we've lost our care and consideration, just basic levels of kindness towards people. And so most people, me included, are just so incredibly busy and so focused on themselves, right? Like we've got this tunnel vision that's happening that we're not aware of other people. Fuses are incredibly short. Reactions are very heated and strong. And it's hard to know what to do or where to begin sometimes. And I was sitting the other day with my client named Mara, and she was really kind of letting me have it, kind of just the idea that she said, it's hard to let your guard down in this world. She talked about when she was younger, kind of living that very much that soft underbelly, heart wide open. And she said, yeah, you know, that wound me up broke, in debt, heartbroken, jaded. You know, she was like, no way am I doing that again. People are difficult and they're not always trustworthy and kind. And how do I really commit to doing this? Because I got myself really hurt. And so I can relate to that. Maybe that's how you feel too. It's like, never mind with all that stuff. It's not worth it to me. But remember, we're talking today about empathy. We are not talking about living without boundaries, because please don't mistake the two. You can be a very empathic, supported, compassionate person with still very strong, rigid, clear boundaries. The more boundaried you become, the more empathy you're likely to experience in the world. The more in charge of your own experience and your ability to use your words yes and no more effectively will actually allow you to have more empathy for people. This show is a resource for tools, tips, and techniques to help you with boundaries, decision-making, spending your commodities of time, energy, and effort. If you're confused about a starting point with any of that, or you don't really know the language of how to become more boundaried, past episodes are filled with resources to help you do that. I don't want you going through the world with this soft underbelly and not knowing how to effectively protect yourself. We don't need any more quills in the world. We need things like boundaries and spending commodities. So again, go back to some of those resources. Check out my website, allisonblythe.com, so that you know kind of how to do this and use this tool of empathy. The more secure and stable you are, you will be able to navigate life differently this way. So we talked before about how do we start this practice of empathy? Where do we really begin? And I pointed you towards self-awareness and self-responsibility, really good starting points for you. And again, if these tools aren't making sense to you, check out the SOS episodes, sense of self, SOS. All of these tools are covered in that material. I want you to think about it. A situation like this, that I was at the grocery store the other day and I was in a hurry, as I'm already saying, I was feeling, you know, I was tired, end of the day, and I had to stop by for a few things and I was just rushed. And from aisles away, I could hear a baby, I could hear the fuss and the fight and all of this. And I just kind of internally, maybe even externally, rolled my eyes like, oh, I just don't want to hear all of that. And continued, you know, as I wove my way through the aisles, you know, all of the fuss and the chaos started to just, it got even louder. And then there I was, you know, in the aisle, and I could see this mom, not only with one child, but actually three. And I could feel myself having that type of irritable, impatient reaction. And all of a sudden I was like, to myself, like, come on, do you think she's doing that on purpose? Like all of the things that I'm trying to talk about, I had to challenge myself with. And by the time I got even with that mom, my thoughts had just been really, really cleared. And I did have that. And I touched the little baby on her hand, which is also feels kind of risky these days, but it felt very much like the right thing to do, and touched that little baby on her hand and smiled at the mom and just said, been there. And I continued on my way, right? That deposit took about 20 seconds. I'm not really sure. And the realization that it, did it change the entire world? No. Did it somehow make her entire night? Probably not. But was it a different type of exchange where you just, instead of in all of your fuss and irritation about how something is affecting you, you have a lens and start to see that things are affecting other people too. I didn't add any more difficulty to that really difficult situation for that mom. And I was really glad about that, a moment where I had to get myself into check. And remember, I said, thoughts often need to be managed, that our reactions are very, very habitual. I remember hearing a song many years ago. I think it was a religious song that said, let it begin with me. And how often we're waiting for the other people, we're at a standoff with each other, and we're divided in terms of, you know, I haven't been the mom of a young person in a very, very long time. You know, kind of this idea of separation and lack of compassion for people. And yet I wonder, let it begin with me. Are you someone who is willing to go first, to step into an act of kindness and consideration for someone? Or are you really just kind of divided and you're going to watch the demise of our world? I wonder what it would be like for us to practice teeny tiny, consistent, deliberate decisions to show up in this world, to even do like 5%. You know, just 5%. If you started to save 5%, or you pushed your food away 5% more, or got 5% more activity, think about like the teeny tiny changes that this could make. It is a hard world out there. Self-compassion, which is another SOS tool, is necessary. It can be really hard to navigate through the course of the world. Another tool that I will encourage you to use is the tool of self-anchoring. When things happen and it's so easy to get sucked into a reaction. That woman on the highway and my smirk was an element of me getting sucked into something. I could have gotten very deeply sucked into that, potentially to a very tragic end. And that what ended up happening instead is the ability to disconnect and anchor myself, breath, like getting myself together to decide again who it is I want to be in the world. Be self-anchoring is the tool to really find your breath, get yourself aligned with more in terms of those core values. Like we talked about, I could have easily fueled that situation. I could have fueled the situation in the grocery store. My client Fran was fueling the intensity of everything in her school classroom, right? Like, what is it that you are willing to commit to, and how can you start to practice that self-awareness, self-responsibility, self-compassion, and then also self-anchoring when things really do hit the fan? I want to offer a challenge. It certainly can't hurt. 30 days that you maybe collectively, we all commit to a 30-day challenge of empathy, that we do decide deliberately and intentionally to offer patience, consideration, and care for other people, that we step outside of ourselves, even for just a moment, to see what happens. Ask yourself, who do I want to be in this world? And how can I possibly make this even 5% better? Could you imagine like the freedom and the beauty that could come from that? The good news is that empathy, you can never go wrong with it, right? It's like airs. Like you can just never do any harm with empathy. To have a level of consideration and compassion for someone, it does no harm and can actually benefit, can change the entire course of your exchange and interaction with people. So even a 5% difference, is it going to change the course of the world? I don't know. I mean, maybe collectively, it certainly could. Even 5%, as we gather together to decide these things, I do believe that it could make a very profound difference. Honestly, what could it hurt? We do all kinds of other challenges throughout the world. Why not a 30-day empathy challenge? as you make this simple agreement, not just, even if you just decide not to make a bad situation worse, maybe that's the best you've got every day. Start there and see what happens. I would love to hear from you. And I do believe together we can absolutely make the world a better place, which will help us in authentically living life your way. We can start today. Please accept this challenge. I would be excited to really hear. You can be in touch with me. If you have any questions, you want that values assessment, absolutely. Send me an email, allisonblythe@live.com. We need to end for the day, but I want to really thank you. And I do want to hear your stories about authenticity. Thank you for tuning in to Authentically Living Life Your Way. As we end today, I just want to challenge you with a 30-day authentic, really empathic challenge, and please be in touch with me. You can join me the first and third Thursday of every single month right here on Transformation Talk Radio. Have a great week, and I'll see you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to The Ally Effect with Allison Blythe. The moment you decide to take control of your own well-being, you start the journey of authenticity. Tune in next time for more empowering conversations and practical tools to help you shed your fear, worry, comparison, and less than beliefs. Stick with us as you step into the driver's seat and head off onto the road of success and happiness. Your best life awaits.
Okie dokie.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.